بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to increase our knowledge and benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. We are still in a series of lessons explaining the 99 perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those names have special merit that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever memorizes them and understands their meaning will be admitted into paradise. So it's like memorizing 99 words. That won't take too much time of you. Plus you understand the meaning when you attend the classes, and you receive the good tidings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whoever memorizes them and understands the meaning will be admitted into paradise. We are up to the name Al-Muqaddim and Al-Mu'akhir. Those are two perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muqaddim and Al-Mu'akhir, two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts everything in its place according to His wisdom. Some matters in this life occur before other matters, and some are delayed. They don't take place unless other matters take place. So matters could happen before other matters. Matters could be delayed, and that is according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you may be aware of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the seven skies and seven earths in 6 days. Every day is equivalent to 1,000 years of what we count. 1,000 years of what we count. Allah is able to create them in one moment, but Allah created them in 6 days. Each day is equivalent to 1,000 years, and this is for a wisdom to teach us not to rush in doing matters. Allah created the earth first in the first 2 days, then the skies in the following 2 days, then the mountains, the valleys, the oceans, and the like in the last 2 days. So Allah created earth first, that's for our wisdom. Allah delayed creating the skies until after creating the earth for our wisdom. So that's the meaning of Al-Muqaddim and Al-Mu'akhir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His eternal will, willed for some of the creations to exist before others, and for other creations to be created after the existence of other creations. That is all according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim in the Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about Allah, أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر, meaning you are the one, according to your wisdom, create things before other things. And you are the one, according to your wisdom, create things after other things. So that's why sometimes a slave might rush in this life. He wants to achieve something or all of them at the same time, and he is in rush and he might not get any of these matters done. So if something, or if he achieved something now and there is something to be achieved still, a person should accept what he has achieved, and a person should realize that this is an endowment from Allah Azza wa Jal, enabling you to achieve this matter. Although you haven't achieved all your ambitions in this life, whatever you have achieved, there are other people on earth haven't achieved a quarter of what you have achieved. So when you look at this matter from this perspective, you will know that Allah endowed upon you many endowments. And you thank Allah Azza wa Jal for enabling you to achieve whatever you have achieved so far. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Awwal. Al-Awwal, when referring to Allah Azza wa Jal, means the Eternal. And the Eternal here means the one whose existence is without a beginning. Al-Awwal. Some might translate it as the one. Now, when you say Al-Awwal, or the first, here it means the one whose existence is without a beginning. So when we say Allah is Al-Awwal, we mean Allah's existence is without a beginning. His existence is not preceded by non-existence. Everything other than Allah Azza wa Jal is created by Allah Azza wa Jal. So its existence was preceded by non-existence. Like we now exist. However, 100 years ago, none of us was existent. So our existence was preceded by the state of non-existence. But only Allah Azza wa Jal, whose existence is not preceded by non-existence. Because Allah is Al-Awwal, the one without a beginning. So because Allah is Al-Awwal, the one without a beginning, so His existence is not preceded by non-existence. The scholars of Islam said, only Allah Ta'ala, His existence is without a beginning. But other than Allah, everything in this universe is created by Allah Azza wa Jal. So it has a beginning. The Arsh has a beginning. The Kursi underneath the Arsh has a beginning. The skies have a beginning. The earth has a beginning. They're all created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Darkness is created by Allah. Light is created by Allah Azza wa Jal. At a point in time, there was no darkness and there was no light. Allah first created water that is underneath the Arsh, then created the Arsh. So at that time, there was no darkness and no light. Allah Azza wa Jal created after that darkness and light. Allah said, وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. Allah created darkness and light. Now, if you were to imagine a time when there was no darkness and no light, you won't be able to. Your mind cannot encompass or comprehend or contain this fact. Although these are creations. Darkness and light are creations of God. So there was a time when there was no darkness and no light. Now you can imagine this place dark. You can imagine enlightened. But can you imagine it with no light and no darkness? You can't. Because we are familiar with darkness as we are familiar with light. But no darkness and no light, we cannot comprehend this. Although we believe in it, but our minds cannot contain, encompass this fact. That's why the scholar said that one's mind cannot encompass the reality of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because if one is unable to encompass something that is a creation, that at a point in time there was no darkness and no light, and he cannot encompass this by his mind, how can he encompass the reality of Allah Azza wa Jalla? That's why the scholar said, no one knows the reality of Allah except Allah. No one knows the reality of Allah except Allah. But what we know about Allah, we know about the attributes of Allah, about the names of Allah. That's what we are studying. But we cannot reach the reality of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why we believe Allah exists. His existence is without a beginning because Allah is Al-Awwal. We believe Allah's existence is without an end. And that's the meaning of Al-Akhir. So Allah is Al-Awwal, without a beginning. Al-Akhir, without an end. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with power, will, knowledge, hearing, sight, non-resemblance to the creations, non-neediness of others, oneness, eternity, meaning no beginning, everlastingness, no end. So we believe in the attributes of Allah and we believe in the names of Allah. But we cannot reach the reality of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is a saying that says, the reality of a person cannot be encompassed by that person. So how can he encompass the reality of Allah Azza wa Jalla? You cannot know everything about yourself. How many hair are there in your body? You don't know. How many cells? You don't know. How much is the amount of blood in your body? Exactly, you don't know. What is the length of your veins in your body? You don't know. So there are many things in yourself that you are unable to know about. So you cannot contain, encompass the reality of yourself. How can one encompass the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal? He won't be able to. For that reason, Imam Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, العجز عن درك الإدراك إدراك والبحث عن ذاته كفر وإشراك. Meaning, if you believe in Allah and His attributes, and you admit that you won't be able to reach the reality of Allah, this is a true belief. That's a true belief. That's what you have to do. You believe in Allah and His attributes, and you admit, you confess, that you won't be able to reach the reality of Allah. Because Allah is not something that one can imagine in his mind. So that's why you believe that you won't be able to reach the reality of Allah. Then he said, وَالْبَحْثُ عَنْ ذَاتِهِ كُفْرٌ وَإِشْرَاكٌ. If one doesn't get satisfied with this amount of knowledge about Allah and His attributes, he wants to go further to imagine Allah Azza wa Jal, he would reach a stage where he would have an image, imagination in his mind, and believes that this imagination is Allah, and that will be blasphemy. That's why he said, if one doesn't get satisfied with this and he wants to go further searching the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking to know the reality of Allah, because he won't be able to, he will end up doing what? Imagining Allah Azza wa Jal in his mind, and that image, wal-ayyazu billahi ta'ala, will be a creation of Allah, it won't be Allah Azza wa Jal. So that image that he imagined, he would consider it, wal-ayyazu billah, God, and he will be worshipping an image, and he won't be worshipping Allah. Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu said a very nice statement regarding this matter. He said, if one were to know about his creator, and he reaches a stage where he believes in Allah's existence, and he admits that he is short, he is unable to reach the reality of Allah, then this is a true believer. If he reaches a stage where he denies the existence of Allah, then he is an atheist. Or if he reaches a stage where he has an image in his mind and believes that that image is Allah, then he is mushabbih. Mushabbih, the one who likens Allah to the creations. So it's either one would believe in Allah and his attributes and admits that he won't be able to reach the reality of Allah, and that's a true believer, or he will reach a stage where he denies the existence of Allah, and that is the atheist, or he would imagine something in his mind and claims that it is Allah, and he will be a mushabbih, the one who likens Allah to the creations. So that's why what we are ordered to know about Allah Azza wa Jal is to know about the 13 attributes that the scholars said it's a must upon every accountable person to know about. Because by knowing about them, believing in them, one would have the correct belief about Allah Azza wa Jal. Imam al-Rifa'i radiallahu anhu said, غَايَةُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ بِاللَّهِ الْإِيقَانِ بِوُجُودِهِ تَعَالَى بِلَا كَيْفِ وَلَا مَكَانٍ. The ultimate knowledge a slave can reach in knowing about Allah Azza wa Jal is to have a firm belief in his heart that Allah exists without being in a place and without having any of the characteristics of the creations. So by one believing that Allah exists without a place and without having any of the characteristics of the creations, that's the utmost knowledge, as Imam al-Rifa'i said, a slave can reach in knowing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why one has to learn about the 13 attributes, and by believing in them and knowing about them, he knows that he doesn't go further trying to seek the reality of Allah Azza wa Jal, because he won't be able to. So Allah is Al-Awwal, the one whose existence is without a beginning. Al-Akhir, the one whose existence is without an end. Allah Ta'ala said, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ. Allah is the only one whose existence is without a beginning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one without an end. Also, Allah is Al-Zahir. Al-Zahir can be interpreted as the one who overcomes everything by his power. So everything from the creation is subjugated by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So here, when one says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the slaves by his power, subjugated the creations by his power, one might refer to Allah Azza wa Jal as being above the creations in power, not aboveness in place or direction. Because aboveness in place and direction, this is the attribute of the creations. Because above us, there are skies. Above the skies, there is the Kursi. Above the Kursi, there is the Arsh. So aboveness in direction is amongst the attributes of the creations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qahiru fawqa ibadihi. This ayah, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Now فَوْقَ, which can be literally interpreted as above, it means by his power. Meaning every creation is subjugated by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the meaning of it. So al-zahir, meaning the one whose power subjugates the creations. So they are subjugated by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. They are controlled by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this name can be interpreted as Al-Zahir, meaning the proofs are so obvious about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything in this universe is a proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you look at yourself, you can say, I was not existent. I came into existence. I did not bring myself into existence. So there is one who brought me into existence, who does not resemble me. Because if he is like me, he will be in need to someone to bring him into existence. So then that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and Allah does not resemble the creations. Very simple. In that way. So if you look at yourself, you see proofs about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you look at the insects, you see proofs about the existence of Allah. You look at the worm inside the belly of the earth, you see proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at salmon fish, you know the salmon fish, how they migrate to the ocean and how they come back. First, they are formed in ponds in the mountains. The fish lays its eggs in a pond, and these eggs, they become salmon fish, small ones. They grow. Then after a while, subhanAllah, they change. The skin changes. And when they change, they become suitable to move to the ocean. So they migrate, they travel through the streams to the ocean. When they reach the ocean, they travel thousands of kilometers. Then after a while, when they are due or close to death, they come back. Same way. Then they go to the stream. Now it's up, swimming up. To reach that pond where they were born and formed, to lay the eggs and die and so on, another cycle starts. You look at the salmon fish, how do they know about all these things? How they are guided that now they are due to go to the ocean, now the body can tolerate the saltness of the ocean and the like, and how they traveled that distance and they come back. You see proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then you think about something else, about the bear that hunts the salmon fish as they are returning from the ocean to the ponds. And he goes to some places in the streams as they try to jump, because they jump. They jump, they want to swim up to that place You see that bear trying to catch them. That's his food. You see how many cycles, life cycles, in the animals, you see them in this life, and you see all these strange things in true life, and you say, there must be a creator. So every thing in this universe is proof about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the meaning of Al-Zahir. Al-Batin, another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means delusions do not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as we said, the reality of Allah is known only to Allah Azza wa Jal. So al-batin, delusions do not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of images, and the different shapes and forms of the creations. If you look at the creations, even in human beings, if you were to observe how they are, you see someone who is skinny, someone who is not, someone who is tall, someone who is short, someone who is white, someone who is black, someone who is in between, you see different forms and shapes. Now, this is proof about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is al-zahir and Allah is al-batin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith narrated by al-Bayhaqi, O Allah, you are al-zahir and there is nothing above you. And you are al-batin and there is nothing underneath you. Then Imam al-Bayhaqi, after narrating the hadith, said, the scholars took from this proof that Allah exists without a place. He said, because if there is nothing above him and nothing underneath him, he won't be in a place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists without a place. The place is for human beings. So those who believe that Allah is above the throne will be underneath him. Attributing something as being above or underneath must only be a creation that has a body and quantity and mass. So you can make that comparison. He is above or below in distance. He is far or near in distance. All these things can only apply to the creations, to volumes, shapes, masses, and not to the creator of shapes and masses and volumes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-zahir and al-batin. Allah is al-wali, the owner of everything, and the one whose will is fulfilled. Nothing can stop the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from happening. Whatever Allah will shall be, and whatever Allah did not will for it to be shall not be. That's the belief of Muslims. Al-Muta'ali. Al-Muta'ali means Allah is clear of the characteristics of the creations. So what are the characteristics of the creations? Shapes, volumes, quantities, masses, being in a place or direction. These are attributes of the creations, characteristics of the creations. Allah is clear from the characteristics of the creations, and Allah is the one who subjugated the creations by His supreme power. So the creations are subjugated by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Ta'ala said, Al-Kabiru Al-Muta'al. So that's the meaning of Al-Muta'ali, the one who is clear of the characteristics of the creations and the one who controls the creations by His supreme power, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah is Al-Barr. And it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows His benevolence upon his slaves, the benevolence, the mercy, the sustenance to the slaves, and the benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reached all the slaves. Some are thankful and others are not. So some thank Allah and they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, while others do not believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with the sustenance. Allah bestowed His benevolence upon them and His mercy in this life. Despite all that, they don't believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. And some of them, they ate the sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with, and despite that, they swear at Allah and they commit blasphemy. So they are living in the bounties that Allah bestowed upon them. They are enjoying the benevolence and sustenance that Allah provided them with, and despite all that, they blaspheme and they do not believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. So there are some who thank Allah Azza wa Jal, and there are others who do not. Although they all get from the bounties Allah bestowed upon them, from the sustenance, from the benevolence Allah bestowed upon them. The last one for our lesson tonight is At-Tawwab. At-Tawwab, the one who accepts the repentance of the slave, no matter how many times a person commits the sin, then he repents from it, as long as it's a valid repentance, satisfying the conditions of proper repentance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it from him. You might give, for instance, your son one chance, two chances. I said your son because you love your son. You give him the car to drive, he makes an accident, he's careless. Then you fix the car, then the following month he says, "Dad, I need to use the car." Then you might tell him, "Yeah, but be careful, last time such and such happened." He says, "Yes." Then you give it to him. He makes another accident, careless driving. Then the third time you might say, "No, I'm not going to give you the car anymore." So you might give him one chance, two chances in this life. If there is a boss in a company, let us say, and there are workers, and one is making mistakes, he might give him one chance, two, three, four. In the end, he's going to say to him, he's going to sack him, like, "I don't need you anymore in this place. I gave you many chances, that's it." But subhanAllah, Allah the Creator is the most merciful. So even if one gambles, he goes to the place to gamble, then he comes back home, maybe attending Friday prayer, then repenting to Allah. Then the following week he will go back to gambling. Then he repents. Then he goes back to gambling. Then he repents. So even if he does this tens of times, every time he repents a proper repentance, fulfilling all the conditions that we're going to explain soon, Allah accepts his repentance. So do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Do not say to a person, like, because some people, that's what they do. Let us say they gamble once, twice, whatever, after a few times, and they repent every now and then. Then they say, "Why should I repent? I know myself, I'm going to go back to sinning." So then that's what the devil whispers to them. So they say, "I'm not going to repent, I'm going to stay like this." So they keep going until they die while committing that major sin. However, if one thinks properly, One knows that in our religion, whenever a person commits a sin, if he repents from a proper repentance, it will be accepted. Now, what are the conditions of proper repentance? First, to stop doing the sin. That's number one. Number two, to regret having done that sin. Now, to regret, that's very important element or condition for proper repentance. The Prophet said, "An-nadamu tawba," meaning regret, remorse, having remorse, and to regret is an important condition for a valid repentance. The regret must be because one disobeyed Allah, not because one lost his money in gambling. Because a person might go to a place and he gambles, then he loses his money, then he comes back home upset, crying maybe. "I wish I didn't do such and such. I worked very hard for 5 days. Now I lost all my money, all my salary, my wages in gambling. How can I eat now? How can I feed my children?" So now he's regret and remorse because he lost the money, not because he disobeyed Allah Azza wa Jal. This is not classified as valid regret, which is a condition of repentance. So the regret, the remorse must be because he disobeyed Allah, the Creator. The third is to have strong intention in his heart that he won't do it again. Not, for instance, to say, "Yeah, I won't go gambling for the rest of the week," because he doesn't have money. Because he doesn't have money. But his intention is to gamble on the next weekend. That's not repentance. So in order for one sin to be waved off and wiped out, one must stop doing the sin, regret having done it, and has a strong intention not to do it again. If the sin pertains to the right of a human being, then one of two things must happen. Either if it was by taking something from him unjustly, he must return it, or he must ask for his forgiveness. If it pertains to one of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, such as missing out prayers, missing out fasting some days of Ramadan, then he has to make them up. By fulfilling these conditions, his repentance is accepted. So if he goes back to sinning, then he repents, proper repentance, then the sin will be wiped out. Then if he goes back to sinning, then he repents, proper repentance, then that sin will be wiped out, and so on. But if a person is on off, he doesn't know how his ending will be. His life might end while he's committing the sin. Some people died while they were doing or committing sins. Imagine someone is drinking alcohol and he dies in that state. How many people died because of using drugs, overdose of drugs? So they taken doses of drugs, to an extent they die. They die while committing that sin. So one doesn't know when he's going to die. That's why he has to be ready to face death at any time. So whenever you commit a sin, even if you have doubt in yourself, "I might be tempted in the future and go back to it," have a firm intention now that you won't do it. Repent from it, regret having done it. And inshallah Azza wa Jalla, it will be wiped out. So if you die, you die while repenting from that sin, not while being insistent on doing that sin. That's what to be ready. so you won't die while committing that sin. The last thing I would like to remind you of is that there are stages where one's repentance is not accepted. I'll mention a few of them. When the soul reaches the throat, the angel of death takes the soul out of the body, starts from his feet, and takes it out from here, from the head. You know the soft part when a baby is born from that place. So when it reaches here, they call this al-gharghara. Now it's stuck in the throat, the angel of death is taking it out. When it reaches here, it starts making that sound from the throat. So the soul has reached the throat and it's coming out of his body. When it reaches the throat here, there is no acceptance for repentance. So if one were to repent at this stage, it won't be accepted. The second stage is when one sees, or the second case, when one sees the angel of death. A person might be sitting in a session, laughing, talking, then suddenly his soul will be taken out. He sees the angel of death approaching him. The rest won't recognize. All what they can see is that person collapsing. I think you've seen many of these videos. Now, because of the videos, subhanAllah, they show you that how some people die. And some of them in the mosques. Maybe you've seen some of those who went to the mosque and they went to prostration and they didn't get up. People finished the prayer and they looked at him, he's still in the prostration position. Then they tried to wake him up, he's dead. So when he is prostrating to Allah Azza wa Jal, he dies in that case. So he might see the angel of death. So when he sees the angel of death coming to him to take his soul out, no repentance for that person. That's another case. Another case, when he reaches a stage where he realizes that he is going to be destroyed by the punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal, such as what happened to the Pharaoh of Egypt. When he followed Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Moses, in the Red Sea with his followers, and subhanAllah, he was hesitant at the beginning because the Red Sea split into 12 channels, and the followers of Musa alayhi salam went inside that ocean. You can see on your right and left like a mountain of water, and between them road that they can walk and ride their horses. So the Pharaoh of Egypt followed Prophet Musa alayhi salam with his followers. When they became in the middle of the sea, these mountains of water collapsed on them. When he saw that the sea is collapsing on them, he realized that this is Allah's punishment to destroy them. So what did he say? He said at that stage, I now believe in the Lord of Moses and Harun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept his repentance. Because he reached that stage where he realized that his destruction has approached. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought destruction to that person. So the repentance won't be accepted at that time as well. And also when the sun rises from the west, and that will take place before the day for judgment. So the sun will go to the west, it sets there, then instead of rising from the east, it rises from the west. So when that happens, repentance won't be accepted. So that's why one has to think about his life, how he wants to end his life with, as being a good Muslim or as being a sinner. And there are consequences for both. If he dies as a good Muslim, righteous Muslim, then he will be a winner in the hereafter. Otherwise, he will be a loser. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us die as righteous Muslims and bestow upon us His mercy and makes us amongst those who repent from the sins and never go back to sinning. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.